Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Next edition of Says You. Today, we achieve a new level of panel audience interaction.
I want to know what this woman has been writing down all the time.
Madam, stop right now. That's what great. Is it? Tell us what it is.
Oh, she's too late.
He's worried about a bad review in tomorrow's paper.
Thrilled to the breadth of knowledge displayed by our gifted group, or perhaps its lack of breadth.
Well, it sounds French, certainly, doesn't it? So what are the French islands? The gallstones.
The gallstones, right, yeah.
And with that, I exhaust my knowledge of geography.
Okay. What follows is what happened when Says You came to Portland, Maine. Well, almost what happened. Some things I edit out, some things I leave in. See what made the cut when Says You returns right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Authorities in Oklahoma say the raging wildfires in the state have prompted more evacuations, and some state roads remain closed because of all the drifting smoke. At least 10 fires are burning in drought-stricken Oklahoma, and in some areas, temperatures have topped 110 degrees. Governor Mary Fallon says the heat is making it tough on firefighters battling a blaze in suburban Oklahoma City that's destroyed dozens of homes.
This has been a very, very tough situation when it's over 110 degrees and you got huge flames and massive fires.
Fallon spoke to KOKH-TV as she toured the Oklahoma City suburb of Luther. Authorities suspect the fire there was deliberately set. Tropical storm Ernesto pushing toward Jamaica today. The storm is threatening to dump several inches of rain on the island before drenching the Caribbean coasts of Honduras, Mexico, and Belize later this week. Forecasters say Ernesto could reach hurricane strength tomorrow. It's one of the most anticipated events of any Olympic Games, a men's 100-meter dash. Jamaica's Usain Bolt is set to defend the gold medal performance he turned in Beijing 4 years ago. But as NPR's Mike Pesca reports from London, he's got some competition.
Ryan Bailey and Justin Gatling of the United States were the only runners to break 10 seconds in the quarterfinals races yesterday. Bailey has been coming on strong since the U.S. trials, and his 9.88 second time was a personal best. But the Americans are not the favorites in the race. Jamaicans Johan Blake and Usain Bolt loom large. Bolt, the Beijing gold medal winner, and world record holder Blake, the runner who beat his countrymen in Kingston at the Jamaican Olympic trials. American Tyson Gay could also factor in. He, Bolt, and Blake are the only three humans to have run the 100 in times closer to 9.5 seconds than 10 seconds. Mike Pesca, NPR News, London.
Also at the Olympics, tennis is on the schedule today. Right now, Britain's Andy Murray and Switzerland's Roger Federer are playing the gold medal men's singles match. It's a rematch of the Wimbledon final the two played this summer. Earlier, the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, took the gold for the U.S. in the women's doubles competition. The wife of Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. says her husband has been completely debilitated by depression. NPR's Allison Keyes reports.
Alderman Sandy Jackson told the Chicago Sun-Times that doctors at the Mayo Clinic are trying to find out if his depression is connected to weight loss surgery and that his body was just worn out. Jackson says her husband collapsed at their Washington, D.C. home June 10th, and they've kept him in what she calls a news blackout since then. Jackson denies rumors that the congressman was receiving help with alcohol or drug addiction. She says he's focused on returning to work and he remains on the ballot in Illinois. The timing of Jackson's medical leave has raised questions, partly because he faces an ethics investigation in the U.S. House connected to imprisoned former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
This is NPR News. The NASA scientist who warned early of climate change is offering a new statistical analysis he says proves recent severe weather is a result of man-made global warming. NPR's Dick Giuliano has more.
The head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, James Hansen, says recent scorching heat waves in the United States and elsewhere are so rare in history they cannot be anything but man-made global warming. Hansen's study is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. He compares recent temperatures to temperatures in the 1950s through the 1980s. His conclusion is that the odds of blistering heat waves these days are 1 in 10, and in the earlier time period were 1 in 300. Hansen is a strident activist who has called on the government to curb greenhouse gases. Dick Iuliano, NPR News, Washington.
A NASA spacecraft heading toward a landing on Mars late tonight. The Mars rover called Curiosity is on the home stretch of its 8-month voyage, and NASA is on edge. The space agency calls the make-or-break landing attempt 7 minutes of terror. Alan Chen is a lead engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, Pasadena.
We hit the top of the atmosphere, going about 13,000 miles an hour. We'll start trying to start steering toward the landing site. This vehicle has guided entry, so we're trying to land precisely right at the foot of that mountain.
Curiosity is the first full-fledged mobile science lab ever sent to a distant planet. It's the size of a small sports car, it's nuclear-powered, and it's packed with gadgets aimed at helping scientists determine if Mars ever hosted the building blocks of life. NASA says the weather on Mars appears to be cooperating. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Robert Sterling Clark Foundation to sustain NPR's coverage of Latin American cultural programming on Alt Latino.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Portland comes from the University of Southern Maine. Degree programs in the arts, sciences, business, and more. On the web at usm.maine.edu.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From Hannaford Hall in the Abramson Center on the campus of the University of Southern Maine, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's an intellect without peer who just can't find a mooring. Murray Horowitz. She's a mariner's marinara and a saucy one at that. Lenore Shannon. And though he's trapped in a tugboat body, he's always had a frigate attitude. Mr. Tony Khan.
I'm glad I'm not the one with the tugboat.
Who's the leader this time?
The one who's lost his moorings.
You're our captain.
Thank you.
To my left, Team 2. 15 years of fishing for answers have left him a bit dingy. Arnie Reisman. Hey. Her propensity to cast pun after pun has certainly taken its troll. Carolyn Fay Fox. And tell her in Portland she can angle for bargains and she'll fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Miss Paula Lyons. And who leads today?
Miss Paula, the bargain hunter.
Paula will be our captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, cut a rug.
Cut a rug, which means it means to dance.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
So that's 5 points.
Okay.
All right.
She's
building.
Got you there.
Yeah. And where's the derivation? If you are wearing pointy-heeled shoes, you are going to cut up that rug.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people say that that actually is the origin, but we don't think so. We think it's a little different than that.
All right. So can we have a hint?
So cut a rug actually is fast dancing as opposed to doing a waltz or a slow dance.
It is.
Therefore, you're moving fast enough to cut the rug underneath your feet, no?
Care to guess about what time period this goes back to?
1920s?
Yes.
That's 10
All right.
points. Very good. Nice
Thank
job.
Thank you, Paula.
That's a good rug. It's jitterbugging, really. It came from jitterbugging. To dance, especially energetically, from the Roaring Twenties. There's also one other derivation that I loved when I heard. I don't know if I can claim this to be true, but it also means to cut up the rug and remove it.
Yes.
To take
right.
it out
right
of the
on
room.
The dance floor. Yeah, it's
yeah to allow, you know, with furniture and everything else, to allow for dance mm-hmm. space. So.
How many times a year did they do that?
Yes.
Right, another one.
Well, they'd also roll up the rug.
Yeah.
They would say
yeah.
that on the red.
Now,
roll up the rug,
no
which meant
wall.
Either that you were going to dance or you were moving a body.
Yeah.
I like that second derivation the best, but I can't really prove it. That's just what they say. Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of bald-faced liar.
Bald-faced liar
yes.
is a person who exceeds the normal requirements of a liar and goes above and beyond the call of lying to just a flaring liar, a bald-faced liar. Perhaps because, does this have anything to do with beard as concealment?
It has everything to do with beard as concealment. Whoa.
I don't believe a word he says. Yeah.
I was about to add to that sentence, because I don't think so. But thank you, Richard.
18th and 19th century businessmen, goes back to that. Beards were an attempt to mask facial expressions when making deals. Thus, a bald-faced liar, someone who didn't have a beard and could still lie, was a pretty good liar at that.
So that's why, like, none of our presidents have had beards in the 20th century.
They're all just, I guess. Arnie, one of my favorite questions of the day. Definition and derivation of the fish rots from the head down.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, as the leader acts, so shall his organization. I mean, that's one way to apply it.
And yes. that's the meaning that that's what it's come to mean.
Definition
yes.
is. Yeah. Boy, is it also attributable to somebody in particular? It's a good line.
Well, no, it is not into anyone in particular.
So, is it a main author? I mean,
is it a main expression? Does it have anything to do with fishing in terms of derivation?
No, it does not. What was the last time that you remember it being famously attributed? You
Enron.
Remember?
It was a congressional herring.
Oh, no.
I believe.
I can see the government's not going to have a good day.
No, it's not in this.
No.
Last time I remember it, anybody remember Bill Spaceman Lee?
Yes. Boston Red Sox.
Bill Spaceman Lee.
Who lives in the neighboring state of Vermont, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, he does. And he said it in reference to manager Don Zimmer.
Zimmer, the...
Right, who disapproved of Lee's breakfast menu.
Fish rots. But it was also... I think it appears in The Godfather, a fish stinks from the head. I may be incorrect.
That's the horse.
Well, yeah. You know what? It does go back a long way. I want to give you a... No, I'll give you 7 points. Fish. How's that?
We're going to Herman Melville? I mean, where are we going with this?
No. Any help from the other side?
Fish rots.
Any help from the audience?
It's biblical. Why it says
that. From the audience, it's Italian.
It is
either Italian, Chinese, Turkish, or Lebanese.
Oh, really?
I see.
There is such
makes a hell of a restaurant.
That's
I was just going to say. All killing cuisines, man.
There is such an argument about this. Some say it's ancient, which is why you could have gotten 10 points for almost anything.
Yes.
But a lot say it's an ancient Chinese proverb, and that it literally goes back 3,000 years.
Okay.
But others insist it's Turkish. The proverb that goes, the fish stinks first at the head, you know, which was attributed to 15th century Turkey. But we'll take some help from the audience on this. We'll take some help from the radio audience, because we got four different derivations for this, and I'd be curious. Try this one, Lenore. To treat with kid gloves.
Well, kid gloves are beautiful, fine leather gloves that ladies used to wear. I have a pair of kid gloves, actually.
Do you really?
I absolutely do.
I have a pair of kids.
And do you treat them with kid
gloves?
They
never wear gloves.
And kid gloves were used to transport works of art, and people put them on in the art world when they were moving things
very
gently and delicately. And I know that they're used in the art world. So would that be close to the derivation?
I'm not sure, but I'll tell you something. I love finding that out. 10 points. Is that really true that they do handle artwork with The finest of kid gloves, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It, but it is.
Because they will, you can't, nothing will slip on them when you're holding them. Like, in other words, oops, sorry, Mr. Rembrandt. but it's...
Geez, that looks bad.
And yeah. So when you treat something with kid gloves, it is the most valuable thing in your...
That's exactly right. It is to use delicacy and to diffuse or soften a person or a situation. And kid gloves were the thin, delicate gloves that you mentioned that were certainly not meant for hard work. They were meant for delicate work. Well, 10 points for that. Love this one, Paula. Definition and derivation of to eat crow.
Well, to admit a big, bad mistake is to eat crow. Oh, once upon a time I knew where this came from. Let's see. Don't leave me now.
I love this. It's just, when I read this in the book, I couldn't believe it. But
so it comes from something where you did not realize what you were eating was crow?
Could be, actually.
It's quite a culinary punishment, isn't it?
Why? Why?
I betcha. Yeah.
Because crow pie is not as popular as pumpkin pie.
That's exactly right.
That's what it is.
10 points. I just want to read to you the derivation, okay? It is, of course, to have to accept defeat and humiliation for being wrong. Crow tastes awful.
Awful.
That's what it said in the book. Crow tastes awful. Has anyone
out
there...
Has anyone had it?
You know, they could have had a lot of other things there.
I know. Has anyone ever eaten crow out there, literally?
I've eaten so
crow?
Much crow in my life, I've gotten used to it by now.
It tastes like chicken.
Crow tastes awful. Well, I'm just going to have to take their word for this.
Yeah,
well, have you ever seen what they eat?
Yeah.
Yuck.
And really,
I'm from Ohio. It's not so bad. We just scrape it right off the pavement, put it in a pan.
Oh, brother. And finally, Murray, definition and derivation of you can't get there from here. I did say that right, didn't I?
Yeah.
From here.
You can't get there from here.
I think. There you go.
From the audience response. Might it have something to do with the New England coast?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, you can't get there from here. I know the derivation of it. It's the title of my autobiography. But, it means that you will be frustrated in your attempt. I mean, it's a circumnavigatory route that you will have to take to get anywhere. And
the directions are basically very complicated.
Right. I'm going to defer to my New England pal here, Lenore, who knows about this.
Well, just you have to, in Maine and Rhode Island, especially in Maine, you've got to go all the way up to go all the way back down. When if they just built some bridges.
It's
so much easier to do.
Yes, if they just paved the
coast. Causeway.
If they just paved the harbor.
Right. You go to that rock over there, and then you know.
But do you know where it actually comes from, where that phrase comes from?
So it doesn't come from here.
Oh, it sure does.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So,
but it's a very specific origin.
Is that from from an entertainer, somebody who did a show, and that was...
Yeah.
It wasn't Fred Allen,
was it? Fred Allen?
No, it was not Fred Allen.
All right, so somebody did a... So we're now into show business history. I'm supposed to know this.
Oh, this was the old guy who told stories about
Maine. Oh, Titus
Maine.
Moody? Well,
I can't remember.
That's Fred Allen.
Artemus
Ward, perhaps?
No, the other side knows this. I guess the New Englanders know that. Know this...
Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge. It was Calvin Coolidge. I'm going to go right to the other side.
Bert and I.
Bert and I. Any other information
Bert
about
and
that?
I, well, that's the way they talked. It was a good old radio show.
The Bert and I recordings featuring Marshall Dodge and the Reverend Robert Bryan. And, of course, the Bluebird.
You can't get there from here.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Tom Porter Quartet. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Murray's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Murray if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Dunkadoo. D-U-N-K-A-D-O-O. Dunkadoo. Gentlemen? Says You begins its fall season of live performances with a trip to Nashville, Tennessee, September 8th and 9th. We'll be at the Polk Theater at TPAC for two shows. Then on Saturday, October 20th, we'll be in Milwaukee for a little constant badgering Wisconsin wordplay with Says You. There's our New Year's weekend taping in Boston, and more soon to follow. You can find tickets, information, and details for all our shows at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. So remember, that's September in Nashville, October in Milwaukee, and December in Boston. It's the new season of live performances of Says You. Says You returns after this from home. That is the Tom Porter Quartet. Yes, sir. Say thanks to Mr. Tom Porter on piano, Frank Mancori on the sax, Sam Sherry on the bass, and Mark Barnett on the drums. Thanks, guys. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please thank Mr. Charlie Hennen and Mr. Benjamin Schur. Thanks a lot, guys, for keeping score. We have had a few moments with the word dunkadoo. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
It's a crawler. Very simply. No, it's not a crawler.
It's a crawler.
Crawler. Yeah. It's a dog that loves to swim. Actually, it's the most obvious. It's one of those cheap little plastic bird toys that dips into water over and over again. It's a dunkadoo.
The cheap little bird, the plastic bird toy that bobs into the water all the time, that's the dunkadoo. The dunkadoo. That could be it. Or it could be something else. Arnie?
It could be. It is an animal, as a matter of fact. It's like farm slang for a beast of burden, any over-the-hill animal, particularly an over-the-hill barnyard quadruped that's now basically being used to haul things.
A horse, a mule,
an ox, you know,
beast of burden.
An over-the-hill barnyard quadruped is what you say.
A beast of burden.
Well, it could be that.
Something you make
in the kid. Or, Paula, yet a third choice.
Well, it's no wonder Mr. Audubon was so busy. That's all I've got to say. This is a real bird. It's a bird that dunks. It's a bird that wades.
Waits?
Wades. W-A-D-E-S.
A wading bird.
A wading bird.
A bird that wades is a dunkadoo.
A bird in waiting.
They're all animals. They're all animals. Right.
Well, it could... Did someone actually hiss the definition? Yeah.
I think it was the other team.
You didn't come here for the puns?
So it is either a wading bird, an over-the-hill barnyard quadruped, or that cheap little plastic toy, the bird that bobs his head in the water. It is one of those three, and the choice, Murray, is yours.
Well, I'm so glad nobody said that it was the rejected first take of Jimmy Durante's biggest hit. Sorry, I thought that was going to be too hip for the room, but good for you.
No,
that's great.
Not this room.
Well, my colleagues have been having this fierce conversation. I said, "Don't leave the game in the locker room. Tell us all. What do you think, Tony?"
Well, we're actually talking about you, Murray. Why is he so bossy? Okay, well, I mean, the fact that they all had animals to me means absolutely nothing. But it's an interesting coincidence.
One could be a bluff. Two birds is rather...
Well, we could kill two birds with one dunkadoo.
Do you remember those plastic ostriches, though, that they used to sell on the streets?
I remember them being glass.
They never worked. I bought three of them.
Really?
They never...
We flushed ours down the toilet, and now there are thousands of them in the sewer system.
Let's look at their behavior, shall we? Arnie went into a strange kind of syntactic conniption there, which meant that either he was trying to hide the fact or he was having a stroke.
An over-the-hill quadruped
over-the-hill quadruped.
Might be on the card.
It does sound Australian, doesn't it? Dunkadoo, yes. Like Vegemite. And maybe it's something...
Dunkadoo
maybe it's
sounds
something
like
you
Vegemite.
Put on the Vegemite.
What do you think Vegemite is made of?
It's a cross. It's a cross between chicken soup and fluffernut.
But I think there's something to that. Arnie's couching that in all kinds of...
Okay.
Thing. So sorry. I don't, but of course it's your decision.
No, but of course. So kind of you to point that out, Lenore. I think those birds that like go down in, are they plastic?
Who
I think
thinks
they're
of
glass.
That? First of all, that could, might, you know, who thinks
have
of
you
that?
Ever
have
heard
you thought of one of those birds in
birds
a long time?
That
I'm really fixated
have
on
you ever heard
it's
of
a lot
the,
shorter on the radio,
duck,
isn't it?
The duck being a member. Think of all the birds that wade, right?
Right, there are
have
a lot of wading
heard
birds.
Of them
no, man, I've never even heard of
collectively as the Dunkadoo family.
That's true. All right, so we'll reject Paula. You're rejected. And we're see,
Heron,
they're taking turns
Janice
sleeping. Look at the
Dunkadoo.
All right, we're going to go with the quadruped, the old animal.
Yes.
From one old animal to another, Richard. We're going to go with that.
Arnold, they think that a Dunkadoo is an over-the-hill barnyard quadruped. Is that in fact what it is?
Well, actually, there's only four words here. It says, please make something up.
Well,
it is not. Okay, audience. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think? I think the toy is carrying the day, Carolyn. Is that what the Dunkadoo is?
Dunkadoo, please make something up.
There you go. Fooling everybody in the room was...
Dunkadoo. The American bittern. A wading bird.
That's what it is. 10 points for Paula's team. All right, it's the middle of the show. How about a round of middle management? Please help us get to the bottom of these top-notch middle terms.
Ooh.
Carolyn, what might be meant by middle brow?
Middle brow would be a sort of mainstream, middle-of-the-road taste.
Not highbrow, not lowbrow.
Not highbrow, not lowbrow, middle brow, right.
You know,
not to be confused with unibrow.
That's. Yeah. I thought you were going to go to the unibrow, but you didn't. 10 yeah. points. That's
it's
exactly
called Dancing
right.
with the Stars, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you're calling that middle brow?
Oh, well, I guess we could revise that.
It is a middle brow is a person who is moderately but not highly cultivated. That's a middle brow. Yeah. Not a high brow, not a low brow.
Kitchen a suit.
Tony, try this one. What is meant by the middle path?
The middle path is the only way to go. Om.
Shanti.
He's exactly right.
What more can I say? That was basically Buddha's suggestion. He said, hey, you can hit the high road, you can hit the low road, but take your time and just, you know, try to stay somewhere in the middle.
10 points. Nicely done. In the path to Buddhism, the way regarded as the golden mean between self-indulgence and self-mortification.
And as Lenore added, and he will be in Scotland before you.
It's true. Arnie, I don't think you will get this, but I'm going to give it a shot. No one else has a shot at it. Give it a try.
George Eliot.
Oh.
What might be meant by a middle article?
A middle article?
Yes.
Are we talking words or clothing?
Actually, words. This is a middle
so
article.
So it joins phrases or sentences?
It doesn't join phrases.
No, nothing like
what
that.
What kind of article?
An
it's
article
not an article
like
of grammar?
The?
No.
It's not an article like that. It's another meaning of the word article.
Middle
yes.
article. Is it a news article?
Like an article in the middle of a page?
The one that nobody reads.
Well, you're actually,
that's pretty close. It's right. Where you bury a story on the front page by throwing it below the fold and in the middle.
No.
Whoa.
Or all at the fold.
How about in the middle of the newspaper?
In the middle of the newspaper. Okay, buried in the middle of the newspaper.
In the middle, surrounded by advertising.
You know what? It's such a hard question, I'm going to give you the 10 points. Very nice. Very good.
Am I close? Or you're just generous?
Actually, it is not really news. It is more a light literary essay or article of less immediate current significance than an editorial, and therefore placed in the middle of a newspaper.
Sort of like Fox News.
Yeah, sort of.
Try this one, Lenore. Middle Earth.
Huh?
Oh, dear. Middle Earth was where the hobbits lived.
Well,
do
they do.
Not?
They still do.
Yes. So Middle Earth is... not on the earth that we all live in. It is somewhere
in between the underworld and right. It's created by J.R.R. Tolkien.
By Tolkien.
That's 10 points.
Elvish has left the building.
It is J.R.R.R.R.R.R.R.R.
His friends called him Jerm.
It is Mr. Tolkien's elf, troll, and hobbit-infested 1937 creation, Middle Earth. Try this one, Paula. I love this one. What might be meant by middle aisle?
Middle aisle?
Middle aisle.
It's middle aisle.
Are we talking in a building?
Supermarket?
There is a definition to middle aisle, and I will give you the hint that it is usually used with it.
It?
To middle aisle it.
To middle aisle it.
When you don't know where...
Does it have something to do with supermarkets and the way they place
product
and food? No.
Middle aisle.
So middle
it's not
aisle.
An
to middle
aisle.
Aisle it.
Yeah.
Middle aisle it.
Does it mean it's irrelevant? Let's just stick it someplace?
No.
It's a wedding that won't last.
No, that's an unregistered one.
Would you say you would middle aisle something?
Like the flight attendant.
No, not the airlines.
So
middle aisle. What else has got a middle aisle?
Would it be in a retail store?
Nope, nothing like that.
Would it be in a hall like this one?
Well, I think you were right to think, what has aisles? What comes to mind?
Theaters and arenas and, you know.
Churches.
Well, an audience that's hard to control, how fortunate we were.
No the reason is because they hear a voice as much as we are.
Audience, what do you think? To get married is exactly right.
To middle aisle is
slang for getting married.
And who uses this slang, Richard?
I'm not responsible for that. But I'm going to give you...
I don't know about you, but I dead of night courthouse it.
We did bring up weddings.
We did bring up weddings. We did.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Yes. I couldn't hear. Give them 5 points then, because they deserve that, don't you think? Terribly sorry, Arne. I couldn't hear it. And finally, I don't think you'll get this one either, Murray, but it's a great thing. Yeah, it's a great thing to know, and I will give you some help on this. What might be meant by the middle term?
T-E-R-M. Well, it was, for FDR, it was 1937 to 1941.
Yes, that's right.
Is it an academic?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. So I got, I'm getting there.
You're getting there. You're
the
getting
middle
there.
Term.
Midterm exam?
No. I think there
this
were,
is more,
it a trimester system?
No. It's not that. When you said academic, it's an academic discipline. This refers to a specific discipline, and I'll give you the hint that this is a lot about, how can I do this without giving it away?
Oh, don't worry.
This is something that you would have heard in a logic course or something like that.
The middle philosophy, term, the middle term.
A philosophic.
So in like a syllogism, you know, A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, so B is the middle term. It's amazing because that's the one day I was in class.
Yeah.
It was like.
It's the term of a syllogism that occurs in both premises. Thus, I hate liver. Liver for dinner tonight. I'm going hungry. Liver is the middle term. Good job, you guys. Let's go on to round four, which is Murray's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points. Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word sparple.
S-P-A-R-P-L-E.
Let me try that again. S-P-A-R-P-L-E. Sparple. Gentlemen. Just a quick reminder, on September 8th and 9th, Says You goes to Nashville, Tennessee for two live performances of the show. Then, on Saturday, October 20th, we'll be in Milwaukee for a little Wisconsin wordplay. Then, New Year's weekend, we'll be back in Boston for a little light carousing and some original syntax. You can find tickets, information, and details for all our shows at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. So remember, September in Nashville, October in Milwaukee, and December in Boston. The new season of performances of Says You. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. Says You in Portland comes from the University of Southern Maine. Degree programs in the arts, sciences, business, and more. On the web at usm.maine.edu. That is the Tom Porter Quartet. Thank you very much, guys. We've had a little time with the word sparple. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, let us begin and, in fact, end with the yak.
The yak.
Yak.
The yak is known for many, many things. Its lovely fur, its devotion to hard work, its ability to follow commands in Nepalese, its amazing ability to rhyme with gak. Ah, but don't forget its butter. Its butter is supreme. Yak butter. Sparple.
Yak.
I can't believe it's not sparple.
Oh, that was too easy, Carolyn.
Or,
no more,
say,
coffee for
you'd
her.
You'd better believe it's sparkle.
We're talking about yak butter here. That's past the sparkle is what we're... Okay, that's possible. Lenore, could be something else.
That is possible, but not probable.
No.
Sparkle is actually a unit of time. Huh. But it's used to describe a specific activity, looking for a lost golf ball, actually. And you are limited to 72 hours to find the ball.
You see the size
and I
of
ought
these
to
parts.
Know. Sparple is that sort of activity, and it's a law actually in Scotland that you are limited. You cannot find. If you don't find the ball,
what the hell is the definition?
It's three shots. It's a three-shot penalty for taking more than 72 hours to find your golf ball.
Is it the time spent looking for the lost golf ball or the process of looking
it's
for it?
It's the unit of time.
It's the time that you spend looking for a lost golf ball. You hook that puppy over into the pasture. It takes you 2.5 days to find it. That's the sparkle.
Well, you leave the course, really. And
okay.
Then you're on to something else.
It could be that. And frankly, I hope it is. Really, I hope it is. Or it could be something else.
What's
Murray?
Amazing is it's only a three-shot penalty.
Yeah, really. Murray, what say you?
When one thinks, insofar as one ever does, of the fine arts, especially the visual arts, and thinks of the great visual arts traditions in Italy and in France and even in England, one does not think of Scotland. And it may be because of this word. Because artists would argue, is it red? Is it blue? No, sparkle.
You know, you are allowed to boo also.
That's an
alternative.
I actually, this is the first time in my limited 72-year history with Says You, actually know this word.
Oh, you do.
Because, as you know, Richard, my youngest son has embarked upon a career in law enforcement. He is about to become a police officer. He's finishing up at the police academy, and I thank heavens I have the opportunity to tell this story. He comes home with the greatest stories, including the fellow recruit who got a demerit for not having his shirt pressed. He showed up one day with his like a sunburn on one side. They said, what happened to you, man? He said, well, I got a demerit for not having my shirt pressed, so I ironed my uniform shirt. He said, you ironed it on your body? He said, yeah. He said, you're supposed to use an ironing board. He said, yeah, now. I didn't know that before. So this gives me immense faith in the police force in Ireland. But in any case, one of the tactics that they're taught, it's actually a verb, to sparkle, and it means to disperse, you wade into a mob with your billy club or baton or whatever they use, and you're dispersing a whole group of people, and that's sparkling.
Sparkle, yeah. Sounds very police-like, doesn't it?
Yeah, unless you're Miss Sparple.
So to wade into a crowd and disperse it, that's sparkling.
You're asking me?
Yeah. You wait in there, you sparple. It's either that or the time spent looking for a lost golf ball. Remember Yak Butter from way back when?
Yes.
All I can tell you is it's one of those three. And the choice, Paula, falls to you.
Oh, why bother? What's the next category?
Well, I think we've figured it out over here. Although, I'm interested in my teammates' feelings here. I thought Yak Butter sounded reasonable until I got to the other ones. And, you know, they're so outlandish that it could be one of them. What are you guys thinking?
I was thinking Sparkle Barbie.
That would be good, right. But it wasn't one of the three.
No, it wasn't. But I think it might be Lenore's, only because that was so
convoluted.
We almost got the whole history of Scotland.
Yes.
I don't know if Lenore plays golf, but it seems to me.
You know, if you're going to have Yak Butter, why call it anything else?
I don't think it's Yak Butter.
Why about it? Let's disguise it. We'll call it Sparkle.
I agree with that. Yeah, you know, why try to fool people? It's Yak Butter.
And I still holding a baton going, Sparkle, Sparkle.
No. So we're going with
Lenore.
With Lenore, whatever that definition was.
Whatever it is.
Something to do with golf.
Scottish derivation.
Right. Three sheets to the wind, I think it was. Something like that. Whatever it was.
Lenore, they have come to the conclusion that to sparple is the time spent looking for a lost golf ball. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Sparple, please fake a definition.
Oh!
You did.
Wow.
All right, audience, what do you think?
I knew we were wrong when she held up her card upside down to read.
Anyone for Yak Butter?
Yak Butter?
What do you think, audience? Tony, I think Yak Butter is carrying the day. Is that what Sparkle is?
Are you kidding?
No.
It is not. Because Sparkle actually means...
to break up a crowd.
Really?
That's what it is. 10 points for Murray's team.
To break up a crowd.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah. Let's close tonight. One of your favorite disciplines, geography. I got a hiss from geography. Sorry, madam. I
want to know what this woman has been writing down all time. Writing everything.
Madam, stop right now.
What is it?
Tell us what it is.
Oh, she's doozling.
He's worried about a bad review in tomorrow's paper.
I'm looking at the first line of copy here thinking this isn't so good anymore. Let's close tonight. We've all gone a little island happy. We'll give you the names of islands, one by one, which are part of a longer chain. The faster you can name that chain, the more points you'll amass. For example, if I said, and I don't know how to pronounce these, I'm sorry, Panay, P-A-N-A-Y, right. Samar.
Philippines,
yeah. Mindanao and Luzon would be the Philippines.
Can you pronounce the rest of them?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
I won't know any of these.
Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Chain of islands of which this is a part, Rat Island.
Rat Island?
Yes.
Oh.
Bahamas. How about that?
I think the Bahamas, sure.
The Bahamas is not correct.
Okay.
A good guess, but it's not correct.
The Aleutian Islands.
You know, 9 points. I can't give you 10 points. It's a second guess, but 9 points for that. Very good. It is the Aleutian Islands.
I'm looking at it. That's the only island chain I knew. I'm going to leave now.
Yeah.
He's all done.
The Rat Island, islands of the four mountains, Attu and Amchitka, are all the Aleutians. Try this one, Tony. Island chain of which these are a part, Jetu.
Jetu.
J-E-T-H-O-U. Jetu.
Jetu Brute. Let's see. That would be... By the way, do you know that El Salvador is about the size of Massachusetts?
I did not know that, no.
And with that, I exhaust my knowledge of geography.
Okay.
It sounds French, certainly, right. Doesn't it? So what are the French islands? The gallstones.
The gallstones, okay.
The Seychelles.
The Seychelles Islands.
It is not the Seychelles.
Oh. All right, the Seychelles Islands.
To Jetu add Herm, H-E-R-M.
Herm? Herm?
Or Herm.
I was going to say, he had the used car lot near my house.
That's where the...
Jetu and Herm.
The Greek islands nobody ever got to.
No, that's not the Greek island.
Jetu and Herm. Jetu, Herm. Wait a second. It's got to be the Pacific.
It is not.
Is it the Channel Islands?
It is the Channel Islands.
Well,
very
you.
Good, Lenore. Excellent
good
job.
For you.
To Jetu and Herm.
Tony says that the side closer to France is the Channel Islands.
The Channel Islands. Channel Islands.
Why didn't you say so? I would have had it in a flash. Like yak butter.
They're numbered, actually. There's Chanel number one, Chanel number two, Chanel number three.
To Jetu and Herm, we would have added Sark and Jersey,
and
but you didn't need those.
So
Jersey. Yes,
so Jetu is in Herm's way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Boo. That's the way, Portland. Let them have it. I try this one then, Arnie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They got 8 points for that. Try this one, Arnie. How? H-O-W-E. How Island?
The Isles of Longerhouds.
No.
How?
How Island?
All right. What's in Canada? Nope. Keep going.
To How Island, add Wolf. Island, W-O-L-F-E, oh. Wolf Island.
Yeah. Oh, so we're...
They all end with E?
Wow.
Murray, do you know this
there
one?
More than one Falkland?
I think so. I might prefer to call it Islas Malvinas, but is it the Falklands?
That's a great guess, Paula. No. To Howe and Wolf add Frontenac.
It's Canadian.
But... It's St. Lawrence Seaway. It's what are the name of the island?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Oh, geez.
Now I know.
You're Canadian islands.
Yeah.
The Canadian islands.
The Banff Islands.
You know,
he
knows what it is because the last island.
None of us do.
We were going to add St. Lawrence, Île Saint-Lawrence.
I don't know what the group is called.
Oh, does anyone over there know?
The Thousand Islands.
The Thousand Islands.
Hence the dressing.
You know, I'm going to give you, give them 2 points simply for the agony that they went through.
Oh, gee, thanks.
There was agony involved there. Try this one, Lenore. Spanish Harbor.
Spanish Harbor?
Yes.
Now, that sounds really Caribbean to me.
Could be.
The British Virgin Islands?
It is not.
No. Is it Caribbean? It's Caribbean.
I don't know. Could be.
No, wait. Don't go. Hang on.
Spanish Harbor is the name of an island?
Yes.
Aren't they a little confused?
The West Indies Islands?
No. To Spanish
the Leeward. The Leeward Island.
Leeward?
To Spanish Harbor, add Ramrod.
Ramrod Islands. Next stop, the Ramrod Islands.
You can't give us a clue if it's where it might be.
Well,
were these the original land masses that formed Long Island?
No, it is not.
This is the Windward Island.
To Spanish Harbor and Ramrod add Conch.
Conch.
C-O-N-C-H. Conch?
Well,
is
that's
it
certainly
conch or
Caribbean.
Conch.
That's Caribbean, the Lesser Antilles.
I'm starting to think this is in New York.
No.
I think it's Caribbean.
Is it Caribbean? Is it the Florida? This isn't the Keys, is it?
Exactly the Florida Keys.
Yay,
yes.
Bravo.
It is the Florida Keys. 6 points for that.
I want to say that that was a rather tepid demonstration of applause from the audience.
Okay. All right. Try this one then, Paula. Baltra. B-A-L-T-R-A. Baltra.
Baltra.
The Maldives.
No, and I tried to do the Maldives about 500 ways, but you can't do it. They're all
so Baltra. So, okay. Not Pacific?
Well, yes, it is, actually. You know.
Shall I take a stab at the San Juan Islands?
No, it is not the San Juan Islands. To Baltra, add San Cristobal.
Oh.
San Cristobal. So that's Christopher Columbus. And it's Pacific.
Is this Polynesia?
No. Samoa?
No, it is not. To Baltra and San Cristobal at Darwin.
The Galapagos.
Galapagos.
The Galapagos.
6 points. Very nicely done. That was good. And finally, Murray, Vella La Vella.
The Azores.
No, but I...
The Bezoars.
The Bezoars.
The Seasoars.
There it is.
The Eyesores.
The Eyesores.
Good, Carolyn. The Marshall Islands.
Oh, no, not the Marshall Islands.
Solomon Islands.
The Solomon Islands is exactly right. 9 points. Eight points. Didn't need New Georgia, Bougainville, or Guadalcanal. You didn't need any of that. And I'll tell you something, because you scored on that one, Tony, you provided the winning margin in today's contest, an 87-79 victory. Congratulations. Winners this week. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Bob Caswell, Sherry Phillips, Mako Bates, and all the folks here at the University of Southern Maine. Thank you so much, you guys, for your hospitality and for giving us a port in the storm. Sure and Salk and other writers, Noah Cole and Lincoln Clapp, man the meters. Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. From the web, I asked my son if he had a closing joke for this afternoon. Straight away, he offered this. What did one casket say to the other? No? Is that you, Coffin? Thanks for the tag, Ben. We'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
The first thing you lose is vision.
Your heart speeds up, stomach muscles clench.
And you have what's called gray out.
Gray out.
Then you go through blackout. Then you lose consciousness.
This week on Radiolab, out-of-body experiences. From fighter pilots to phantom limbs.
Some feel their arm is always clenched.
The nails dig into my palm.
Some feel that their hand is hot, that it's cold.
Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.